Picture you see on the screen is a breast pump that you would think is supposed to help lactating women breastfeed their babies that they just had. But see, that breast pump you see there on the screen wasn't meant for women. It's meant for men. Manufactured by a company called Doodads, who claim that breast pump is to help lactating men breastfeed the babies that they had. You say, but Kevin, men can't. I know. People, we are living in a society that has absolutely lost its mind and so far away from God and its standards, people don't even know the girl anymore. And the question is, what in the world are we Christians supposed to do about it? What in the world do we do in a society that doesn't give a rip about God or its Word? Well, I'll tell you what we do. More than anything else, more than ever before, we stand up and witness to God and testify to His truth like Daniel the prophet did 600 years before the birth of Christ, because he was in exactly the same kind of mess that we're in right now. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Dare to Be a Daniel, looking at all kinds of things that God has called us to do in the tough times we're living in. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the very first thing we need to do to be a Daniel. The very first thing that Daniel did when he got to Babylon. And that was to separate from the pagan culture that he was in. And to see that, we turn this morning, Daniel chapter 1 and verses 1 to 21. If you have your Bibles, turn with me please. Daniel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and we are living in a world today that is so evil and so pagan. And I pray you teach us this morning the power of separation. Lord, what we can do when we separate, the power that gives our witness when we turn back and proclaim to that world. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In the Old Testament, God told His people over and over again If they served him, he would bless them. They turned to idols, he would punish them and destroy them. And sadly enough, that's exactly what happened. 721 B.C., God sent the Assyrians to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel. And starting in 605 B.C., God sent the Babylonians to destroy the southern kingdom of Judah. And one of the exiles that was taken to Babylon was Daniel, who lived there the rest of his life, showing us how to not only survive, but how to thrive for God in a pagan culture. And it all started by separation from the world. Our text this morning, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 21, tells us three things that we need to do to be a Daniel and separate from the world like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to separate from the world, we need to remember who we are. And that's exactly what Daniel does here in verses 1 through 7. Because 605 B.C., Daniel's world came to an end. His nation was conquered, Jerusalem was in ruins, the temple was trashed, and verses 3 and 4, King Nebuchadnezzar took all the young Jewish men who got 36s on their ACT tests, including Daniel and his friends Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego, and frog marched them in chains all the way to Babylon to turn them into Babylonian bureaucrats. So when you have no idea what's going to happen to you, and everything you know and love is gone, the only thing you have left is who you are. Daniel remembered who he was. Daniel remembered who he was because of where he was. The city of Babylon was the greatest superpower on the face of the earth during that day, with walls 15 miles long on a side and 80 feet thick. And the famous Hanging Gardens there were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it was Bali and Vegas and Cabo all rolled into one, party capital of the planet. And evil to the core. Because the Babylonians worshipped three main false gods and all kinds of other lesser gods and demon spirits. So they were big into the occult and magic and astrology. Things that the God of the Bible condemned. Things that were totally opposite of everything that Daniel and his friends believed and knew to be true. And yet, they had to learn all that stuff in order to serve the Babylonian government. And King Nebuchadnezzar, who was so evil, he would take his enemies and roast them alive during garden parties. So you talk about remembering who you really are. Because Daniel really was a stranger in a strange land. And Christians, we got to remember, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, we're strangers in this world too. And the world that we're living in is evil to the core as well, because it is temporarily under the control of the evil one. And we see that on all sides. Pro-death activist Viva Ruiz is constantly pushing swag, claiming that God blesses abortion. This is what she says. God thinks abortions are good and wants people to have them. Abortion is a sacrament that actually makes people more holy. And abortion providers are doing Jesus' work. People, it's crazy and evil. Our nation has an evil ruler too, because Joe Biden is the most corrupt person to ever sit in the White House and claims to be a Catholic even though he doesn't believe what Catholics really believe. Evil. And oh my goodness, YouTube star JoJo Siwa, who came out as gay last spring, is now part of the very first same-sex dance team on Dancing with the Stars. The first one in the history of that show. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm chapter 12, verse 1. The wicked strut about freely, while what is vile is honored among men. Christians, listen to me. This world does not think like we think. This world does not believe what we believe. This world does not value what we value. So don't you dare drink the Kool-Aid. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. Remember who you are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel and his friends had to remember who they were because everything in Babylon was specifically designed to change their identity and make them forget God. In ancient times, your country got conquered by another country. You just assumed it was because your God was weaker than the God of your enemy. So you just dumped your God and started worshiping the other one instead. And that is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar wanted the Jews to do here. Notice verse 2. He takes some of the holy articles that he stole out of the temple in Jerusalem, like the seven-branch candlestick and the table of showbread, and puts them in a pagan temple in Babylon. See, Daniel? See? Your God's a loser. Your God wimped out. And Nebuchadnezzar put Daniel and his friends in a 3-year indoctrination program to learn all the ways of Babylon. You will look like us. You will talk like us. You will think like us until one day you will think you are us. And to complete the brainwashing process, verses 6 and 7, he gives Daniel and his friends Babylonian names. Most people don't realize Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Babylonian names, not their Hebrew names. Notice all the Hebrew names were about something that the God of Israel had done for them. The Babylonian names were all about something that some God from Babylon had supposedly done for them. But folks, the good news is, in spite of all the propaganda and the brainwashing, Daniel and his friends never drank the Kool-Aid. They never swallowed any of it. Because they realized why the exile had happened. Not because God was a wuss, but because God was punishing His people for idolatry. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and 16. And what else did they do in verse 4? They remembered who they were. They remembered that they were royalty of the royal bloodline of Judah. And Judah was the tribe of praise. So even though they had to learn all that claptrap in order to be servants of King Nebuchadnezzar, they knew that inside they were still royalty. They were still princes of the one real king of Israel, doing what they did for the praise of His glory, not Nebuchadnezzar's. They changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar. But notice, even though he was Belteshazzar on the outside, he was still Daniel on the inside. Because the name of the book isn't Belteshazzar, it's Daniel. They were in Babylon, but Babylon was not in them. They were in it, but not of it. They remembered who they were. And Christians, we got to realize we are in this world, but not of it too. So they can call us pervs, prudes, Nazis, enemies of the state, whatever they want. Regardless of what the world calls us. We are royalty too. Of the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. Here to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So Christians, even though we may have to live and serve down here, we really belong up there. This world is not our home. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Remember who you are. And Christians, bizarre times like these, we better remember who we are, just like she does. Talia, could you stand up? Everybody, come out here so everybody can look at you. This is Talia Eichelberger, in case anybody doesn't know. 13 years old, absolutely gorgeous. But folks, I got to tell you, I would not take $1 million to grow up again like she is. Because America is absolutely killer, especially for teenage girls. One out of every 4 teenage girls in America today is suffering from severe anxiety. 1 out of 5 so bad they are seriously considering killing themselves. But you know what? Not her. And you know why? Notice some things about her. First of all, she does not have a smartphone growing out of the end of her hand, like most girls do. Now, does Talia Eichelberger have a phone? Yeah. But she doesn't live on her phone 14 hours a day like most girls do. She uses her phone mostly to learn French. So she doesn't live in the virtual world. She lives in the real world because the virtual world just depresses teenage girls out. So she doesn't constantly scroll through picture after picture of Instagram models that tell her that she's ugly. She doesn't obsess about the text that the trolls at school send her away, telling her that she's a loser. She doesn't go over and over all the fake happy pictures of all of her friends that make her think her life stinks. And what's the result? Notice, she's not cutting herself. She's not anorexic and puking up everything she eats. She's not in and out of the hospital because she has suicidal tendencies. Because all the stress on the outside of her can't overcome the peace that's on the inside of her. Because she has Jesus Christ in her heart. See, she has a phone, but the phone doesn't have her. Jesus does. See the difference it makes?
Amen.
And notice, too, she's not joined at the lip and at the hip with a boy. Talia, let me ask you a question. Do you have a boyfriend? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And you know why? Talia, are you ready to get married? Of course not. Then why have a boyfriend? God knows the right time comes along, He will send her the right girl. And because of that, she knows right now, this point in her life is the only time in her life she is ever going to have to learn things and to study and to focus on school and to develop talents like singing and playing her pink ukulele. and developing relationships with family members and friends. Something she could never do if she had a boyfriend tying her down. And Talia, let's just admit it. Guys really aren't that big of a deal, are they? You know, of course not. Because they never return texts. And they hate cats. And they spit a lot. And they call you bro, even though you're not a bro. And they want you to spend all your time with them, even though they don't do anything except play video games and never talk to you. And they always want to drink your vitamin water, don't they? Then they do the backwash thing and leave all those little floaties in it that grosses you out. And they swallow too much air when they drink. Then they always make their favorite noise that lets you know that they swallowed too much air. And teenage guys kind of smell, don't they? You got a brother, you know what I'm talking about. So most of them douse themselves with Axe cologne because they think that's going to make you want to jump their bone. Boys are really stupid, aren't they? Absolutely. Never forget that. So Talia Eichelberger is not boy crazy. She's not living for a boy. She's living for Jesus Christ. Do you see the difference it makes?
Yes.
Confirmation. Hand me your notebook. Confirmation at Fox River is a 2-year program of study. In 28 years of teaching confirmation at Fox River, this is the only student I've ever had who wanted to do all 2 years of lessons in 1 year. And you know why? She was concerned that if the rapture happened between year one and two, she'd never get to do the second year's lessons. You say, Kevin, isn't that kind of strange? Listen to me. There's not something wrong with her. There's something right with her. Because you can see it right here in her forehead. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20, in spiritual letters it says, holy unto the Lord. And that word holy literally means she has been separated out for special use. So all the other girls can drink and party and sleep around and act like pigs if they want to, but not her. Because she's set apart for kingdom work. Psalm chapter 87, verse 6, the Lord has recorded in the registers of the people, this one was born in Zion. She knows who she is, where she is, and why she's here. And you know what, the rest of us Christians? If we don't wake up and get our act together and deal with our own junk and start realizing and remembering who we are in this evil world we are in, we will never be a Daniel or a Danielle like she is. The first thing we need to do to separate from the world, we need to remember who we are. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to separate from the world. We not only need to remember who we are, we need to rededicate ourselves to God. And that's exactly what Daniel and his friends do here in verses 8 through 16. Now, one of the perks of being Nebuchadnezzar's interns, they got to eat the same food that the king did. Like Kobe prime rib. And lobster and truffle mac and cheese. And cookie dough blizzards. But notice verse 8, Daniel and his friends don't want it. The first and only time in the history of the world teenage guys ever turned down food. So they tell the maitre d', just give us veggies instead. And the Hebrew there is literally fruits and vegetables and grains. So it's not exactly like they would have been starved. But the official freaks, because to turn down that food would be an insult to King Nebuchadnezzar. And the guy's head would roll. So verses 11 to 14, Daniel finally convinces him just to try it, just as an experiment. Give him vegetables and water for just 10 days and let's see what happens. And what do you know? After 10 days, Daniel and his friends are more ripped than all the other guys and more buff than a Chippendale dancer. So they do the Mediterranean diet for all 3 years of the program. And the question is, why did they refuse that food? Well, maybe because all the food that was given to them was sacrificed in honor of an idol before it was ever put on their plates. Or maybe because it came from animals that Jewish people weren't supposed to eat because the Babylonians absolutely loved pork and horse meat. But you know what the real reason was? The real issue doesn't have anything to do with the food itself. The real issue is what that food stood for. Because in Middle Eastern culture, even today, you share food with somebody, that implies fellowship and allegiance to that person. So King Nebuchadnezzar's food came with strings attached. You eat it, you owe me. You are loyal to me. So by refusing that food, Daniel and his friends were saying, Nebuchadnezzar, we may have to live here and we may have to serve you, but our number one loyalty is still to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So thank you, but no thank you. As prisoners in an enemy pagan nation, here's one thing that they could do to separate. Verse 8, Daniel and his friends resolved not to defile themselves. And that phrase in the Hebrew literally means this: they set their hearts on God and not on Babylon. God help us Christians if we could only do the same thing. Nebuchadnezzar, you don't take care of us. God does. God first, no compromise. And I know somebody's hearing this and saying, Kevin, what's the big deal? It's just food. It's just a small thing. Listen to me. You're not faithful to God in small things. You'll never be faithful to Him in big things. Amen. They rededicated themselves to God. They compromised the world in order to have fellowship with God. The problem is too many Christians today are compromising God in order to have fellowship with the world. And we see that on all sides. Last February the 11th, pastor, author, and teacher Max Lucado preached a sermon at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. And a bunch of trolls dug way back and found another sermon that he had preached at the National Cathedral way back in 2004, where he said homosexuality was a sexual sin like incest and bestiality, which is true because they're all listed right there in the same list in the book of Leviticus. And of course, all hell broke loose. And immediately, Max Lucado grovels and issues this apology and says this: it grieves me that my words hurt the LGBT community. I apologize to you and ask for forgiveness in Christ. But the question is, why did he apologize? To keep his speaking engagements and his book deals going? You apologize to activists in the LGBT community, they just smell blood in the water and they attack you even more, which is exactly what they did to them. Listen, you don't compromise. You never, ever, ever, ever apologize for preaching the truth of God's Word. James chapter 4, verse 4, if you're a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. You rededicate yourself to the Lord and you keep preaching truth come hell or high water. If you don't understand it, ask me, because it's the story of my life. Christians, you want to separate from the world and rededicate yourself to God? Just like Daniel here, you got to watch what you eat. So let me ask you this morning. All the things in the world, what are we eating? What am I eating? People say, Kevin, what kind of cone do you want your ice cream in? I say, traffic. Traffic cone. I do try to eat healthy, though. Isn't candy corn a vegetable? Isn't thin crust pizza supposed to make you skinny? You watching what you eat? What are you eating? There's people listening to the sermon right now. Are you watching porn? Are you making your own porn? Because one out of every four minor teenage girls in America today is sexting, taking pictures of their naked body parts and sending them to guys. And one out of every five guys in America today is getting those pictures and passing them on to somebody else. Which, in case you don't know, is called possession of child pornography, even if it's a picture of yourself. And if you get caught and arrested for it, you will spend the next 25 years registering as a sex offender. You scroll on TikTok for just 2 minutes. TikTok and all its accounts, you find this: porn, sex with animals, depictions of rape, pedophilia, sexual abuse of young children, instructions for committing suicide, Russian roulette. I could go on and on. One of the apps on TikTok is called Take It Off. Gee, I wonder what that's all about. TikTok is a ticking time bomb. And how many Christians listen to the sermon right now are on it every day? Parents, are you rededicating yourselves to God by teaching your kids to eat right? Because everything that Daniel and his friends did in Babylon is exactly what they had learned back in Judah from their parents. That kid show on Netflix, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, has more gay and trans characters in it than a pride parade. You letting your kids watch that? I know Christian parents right now who are letting their 15-year-old daughter have sleepovers with her boyfriend in her own bedroom, just 20 feet down the hall from their bedroom in their own house. You talk about contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Young people, we got to realize, when Daniel and his friends went to Babylon, they were just boys. So young people, it does matter the choices that you make as you're growing up. The picture you see on the screen, 16-year-old Allie Wyatt from Columbus, Ohio. Beautiful born-again Christian girl. Last November, compromised and for the first time in her life went to a party. And for the first time in her life got drunk. Didn't understand alcohol. Got drunk so bad she passed out. And while she was out of it, a bunch of guys at that party took all of her clothes off and did all kinds of things that I can't even mention. And her so-called friends took pictures of it, posted it online so everybody in the high school could see it. You talk about absolutely devastating to her. And she begged and begged and begged her friends to take those pictures down, but they never did. So last December the 3rd, Allie Wyatt committed suicide by hanging herself in her bedroom closet. Young people, listen to me. When that temptation comes, you don't compromise. You rededicate yourself to God, because compromise always, always, always comes at a cost. But if you separate and rededicate, you'll never regret it. U.S. track star Allyson Felix is a born-again Christian and one of the fastest women in the entire world. She's been in Buku Olympics, gets all kinds of endorsement money from her sponsor, Nike. Well, 4 years ago, she and her husband wanted to have a baby for the first time. And praise God, she got pregnant with a little baby girl. But then Nike, her sponsor, said if she had a baby, it would ruin her career. So they told her to get an abortion. And if she didn't get an abortion, they would yank 70% of all her endorsement deals. We're talking tens of millions of dollars. But Allyson Felix absolutely would not deny her Christian convictions. Went ahead and had that baby anyway. Even though Nike pulled the money. And guess what? Last Summer Olympics in Tokyo, she still won a bronze medal in the 400 and another gold medal in the 400 relay. And became the most decorated athlete in the entire history of U.S. track and field. This is what Allyson Felix said. Running track is God's calling on my life, and every medal I've won is an opportunity to glorify Him. But God gave me an even more important calling, and that was to give birth and be a mother to my little girl. One day, everything in this world, including all my medals, are going to be gone, but that little girl will be eternal and live forever. So don't tell me that having my baby wasn't more important. I have always been pro-life, and I will be eternally glad that I never compromised what I believe. Don't compromise. Christians, we rededicate ourselves to God by protesting and standing up and speaking up for Him. Critical race theory is that demonic idea that the only thing that matters about a person is the color of their skin. And right now, leftists are pushing critical race theory in schools all across America, teaching kids that all whites are racist and all black people are their victims. So thank God Christian parents all over this country are going to school board meetings and speaking up to get it banned in their schools. Well, last August the 21st, a black Christian father of three named Derek Wilburn showed up at the Colorado Springs School District No. 49 school board meeting. And as a black man, he could have compromised his faith and just joined the chorus and said, America's systemically racist, and me and my kids are victims, blah, blah, blah. But see, Derek Wilburn is the president of a Christian organization called Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives. This is what he said to that school board.
I am the direct descendant of the North American slave trade. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's side, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not oppressed. I'm not oppressed, and I'm not a victim. I'm neither oppressed nor a victim. I travel all across this country of ours, and I check into hotels, and I fly commercially, and I walk into retail establishments, and I order food in restaurants. I go wherever I want, whenever I want. I am treated with kindness, dignity, and respect, literally from coast to coast. I have three children. They are not oppressed either, although they are victims. I've taught my children they are victims of three things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision making. That is all. My children, we are not victims of America. We are not victims of some unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. And sadly, very sadly, one of those institutions is the American education system.
Okay. Amen. Amen. That guy knows critical race theory is a joke because it totally trashes what the Bible says about black people and white people being one in Jesus Christ. And what was the result of that guy speaking up? Well, not only did that video go viral and inspire thousands and thousands of other parents all across the United States to go to their school board meetings and protest critical race theory, but after Derek Wilburn's speech, the Colorado Springs School Board voted 3-2 to ban critical race theory in all their schools. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Christians, why do we separate ourselves from the world and rededicate ourselves to God? I'll tell you why. So the world can see the difference that it makes in us. So they will pay attention to us and listen to us when we turn around and speak up and witness. And Derek Wilburn proves it can happen. The second thing we need to do to separate from the world, we need to rededicate ourselves to God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to separate from the world. We not only need to remember who we are, we not only need to rededicate ourselves to God, but third, we need to receive the blessing that comes from it.
Amen.
And that's exactly what Daniel and his friends do, verses 17 to 21. Because I know somebody's hearing this sermon right now thinking, okay, Kevin, we'll separate from the world, but where's the payoff? Well, we don't do it for a blessing. We do it because it's right. But God always still does bless it.
Amen.
Verse 17, God gave Daniel and his friends supernatural wisdom and understanding. So verse 20, at the end of the 3-year internship program, they were 10 times smarter than all the eggheads and wise men in Babylon. So they didn't just get through the program by the skin of their teeth. They didn't get through it with a D-minus average. They didn't just make the honor roll. They were the valedictorians with an A++++ average. Proven to the entire world that the fear of the God of Israel is the beginning of wisdom. And notice verse 21. Daniel served 4 different kings of Babylon. And even Persian King Cyrus, who eventually conquered the Babylonians. David had a long, successful career in a pagan enemy country because he just kept being faithful to God and God just kept blessing his socks off. God always, always, always blesses obedience. And folks, don't tell me that America doesn't need that blessing from God right now, because all we're seeing in America right now is judgment of God. These vaccine mandates are judgment from God. Because the vaccine now is not being offered to people to protect people's health. It's now being forced on people to get them to comply to tyrannical government. This past week, 23-year-old Christian NBA star Jonathan Isaacs was asked during an interview why he hasn't been vaccinated yet. This is what he said.
I would start with, I've had COVID. In the past, and so our understanding of antibodies, of natural immunity, has changed a great deal from the onset of the pandemic, and is still evolving. I understand that the vaccine would help if you catch COVID, and you'll be able to have less symptoms from contracting it. But with me having COVID in the past and having antibodies, with my current age group and physical fitness level, it's not necessarily a fear of mine. Taking the vaccine, like I said, it would decrease my chances of having a severe reaction, but it does open me up to the, albeit rare, chance, but the possibility of having an adverse reaction to the vaccine itself. I don't believe that being unvaccinated means infected, or being vaccinated means uninfected. You can still catch COVID with or without having the vaccine. I would say, honestly, the craziness of it all, in terms of not being able to say that it should be everybody's fair choice without being demeaned or talked crazy to, doesn't make one comfortable to do what said person is telling them to do. I would say that's a couple of the reasons that, I would say I'm hesitant at this time, but at the end of the day, I don't feel that it is, you know, anyone's reason to come out and say, well, this is why or this is not why. It should just be their decision. And, you know, loving your neighbors, not just loving those that agree with you or look like you or move in the same way that you do. It's loving those who don't.
Everything that guy said was right. Jonathan Isaacs spoke more truth about COVID and vaccines in those 90 seconds there than Dr. Anthony Fauci did in the last 18 months combined. The jig is up, people. It's been up for a long time. 80% of Americans have been vaccinated. We've got herd immunity. We've got natural immunity. We've got millions of Americans who've had COVID, and because of that now they have antibodies. We've got all kinds of therapeutics for COVID, like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, budesonide, Regeneron. I could go on and on. It is time, it is long past time for people to just let this whole COVID thing go. But the left won't let it go. Joe Biden announced last week, we will never go back to normal until 98% of Americans have gotten vaccinated, which is never. And the fact that they won't let it go proves one thing. This vaccine mandate is not about keeping Americans safe. It's about keeping Americans in line. And how do we know that? Because every single day, the Biden administration is letting thousands and thousands and thousands of illegal aliens sweep into this country across the southern border. Buku illegals, totally unvaccinated and infected like Typhoid Mary. And that's totally fine. But if you, an American citizen, don't want to get vaccinated, you get fired from your job. Don't tell me they believe that COVID is really a problem. So there's only one explanation for the vaccine mandates. It's not about putting an end to COVID. It's about putting an end to your God-given constitutional rights and freedoms so they can take over this country. It's the judgment of God on America. 3 weeks ago, Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives voted for the most radical abortion bill in U.S. history that allows people to abort a baby up to 9 months along, just seconds away and this close to being born, by turning the baby in a breech position, purposely holding the baby's head inside the mother's womb, taking a scissors and stabbing it in the back of the neck and sucking its brains out with a vacuum tube. And do you know what the final vote count was on that butchery? 218-1. One vote away from being totally unanimous. Do you know what, folks? We got to start calling these people for who they really are. They're not Democrats, liberals, progressives, or leftists. They're evil. Evil. God help us, people. America's lost its soul. It's the judgment of God on this country. But Christians, listen to me. Don't have a cow. Because just like Daniel in Babylon, in spite of the judgment of God, we're faithful to Him, He's going to bless us. The Babylonian exile was not going to last forever. God's people still had a future because 70 years later, He was going to bless them and take them back to Israel. Jeremiah chapter 25 verse 11. And Christians, we got to realize exactly the same thing is true with us. Right now, we are in the dark ages too. And I can't tell you how hard it is to keep staying strong and to keep staying faithful in times like these. But we do it. And you know why? Because it's not about what's going on with COVID. It's only about what's going on in the church. It's not about what's going on around us. It's only about what's going on inside of us. It's not about what we're going through. It's all about what we're going to. Just like the Babylonian exile, this COVIDian exile is not going to last forever either. And on the other side is going to be the greatest move of God, the likes of which this world has never seen before. Darkness always precedes the light. The challenges now are just previews of the blessings then. And how do we know that? Because we're already getting a taste of it right now. In spite of all the judgment of God on this country, in spite of all the destruction of the Biden administration, in spite of all the attacks against our religious freedom, in spite of how the lockdown has absolutely devastated the Church of Jesus Christ in America, even though one out of every five churches in this country is closing its doors today, even though one out of three Christians, because of the lockdown, has totally walked away from the Church of Jesus Christ, Here at Fox River, we've got more people watching our live stream than ever before. We've got more new people showing up at our church than ever before. We've had more outreach this year than ever before. We have prayed with more people than ever before. We are seeing more people saved here than ever before. And financially, people are giving more money to this church than at any other time in the 182-year history of Fox River. Crying out loud, I think somebody needs to stand up and shout and say, "Praise the Lord." And why is this happening? Because a year ago last month, we simply started praying and asking God for revival. And asking God to start moving so that people would be touched and we could see people saved. And because we have been obedient and faithful to keep praying and to keep reaching out, God is simply blessing us and lifting us up.
Amen.
And you know how it's happening? Because the Holy Spirit among us is a lot stronger than all the attacks against us. You can't cancel the Holy Spirit. You can't censor Him. You can't deplatform Him. Fox River Church is living, breathing proof that no leftist politician, no White House, no Congress, no tin-horn governor can stop the Holy Spirit from moving. So for crying out loud, get under the spot where the glory comes out. Because revival isn't just coming, it's already started. Blessing. God blesses us when we separate and witness to the world. Even if it costs us the ultimate sacrifice. 33-year-old Jason Johnson was always messed up. Born in Hawaii, parents divorced when he was 4. Mom moved him to California, got hooked on crank and coke, dropped out of school, in and out of jail, slowly but surely killing himself. Till one day in 2014 when he staggered into a Salvation Army shelter in Portland, Oregon and got radically saved by Jesus Christ. And the Salvation Army helped him get his GED. February of 2015, he moved to Winston, Oregon for a job. And 6 years ago, just yesterday, started his very first college classes at Umpqua Community College in nearby Roseburg. Jason Johnson loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart because the Lord had saved his life and given him a brand new beginning. But then 10 a.m., just 6 years ago, yesterday, as Jason Johnson was sitting in his first college English class, 26-year-old Alan Harper Mercer pulled up in front of that school with an AR-15 and 4 Glocks. He had posted online that he was in the Nazis, high-profile serial killers, and he absolutely hated organized religion. And he had also posted online he was going to do something really bad that day. And he did. 10:05 a.m., he jumped out of his car and just started shooting people on that campus, shooting people at random, people running and screaming and trying to hide. Then all of a sudden, Alan Harper Mercer busted into Jason Johnson's English class, took a Glock 43, put it at the professor's head, shot and killed him on the spot. And then at gunpoint ordered all the students in that class to get up out of their seat and make a line in front of the room, in front of the whiteboard. And starting at the far end, Alan Harper Mercer walked up to each one of those students and said, "Are you a Christian? Because if you're a Christian, just a couple of seconds, you're going to meet your God." If they said yes, they were a Christian, he'd shoot them in the head. No, or answered nothing at all, he'd shoot him in the leg. People, can you imagine? Can you imagine being in that classroom? So starting at the far end, the first student was a guy. He asked the guy, "Are you a Christian?" The guy said no. Shot him in the leg. Came to the next one in line. 18-year-old Rebecca Carnes. Alan Harper Mercer asked her, "Are you a Christian?" She said yes. Raised that Glock, shot her in the forehead. Killed her on the spot. So everybody knew the guy meant what he said. Then he came up to Jason Johnson. And he had heard what that madman had said. And the proof of it was laying there right there on the floor, bleeding out next to him. He knew that if he admitted to being a follower of Jesus Christ, he'd be killed. And Alan Harper Mercer asked him, "Are you a Christian?" And all Jason Johnson had to do, all he had to do was just lie and say no or say nothing at all. And yeah, he'd gotten shot in the leg, but at least he had a chance to survive and live, for crying out loud. But as a Christian, Jason Johnson couldn't lie. And he loved Jesus Christ with all of his heart because the Lord had saved his life. And he couldn't deny Him. And Jesus said, Matthew 10:33, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven on judgment day. But if you don't acknowledge me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father in heaven on judgment day. So he had no choice. Alan Harper Mercer asked him again, are you a Christian? Jason Johnson said, yes, I am a Christian. Alan Harper Mercer put the gun to his forehead, fired, and Jason Johnson was killed. How many of y'all realize this Christianity following Jesus stuff ain't for wimps? And I know somebody's hearing this story thinking, but Kevin, what was the point? Yeah, the guy gave his life, but what good did it do? You know what? 26 students in that class, 7 other Christian students there, because of what Rebecca had done and Jason Johnson had done, also had the guts and the courage to say, yes, I am a Christian too, proving to that shooter and everybody else in that classroom and all kinds of people all over the world who've heard about this story in the last 6 years that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is so precious, it is worth dying and giving your life for. That's the blessing. And let me ask you this morning, would you be able to do what Jason Johnson did? That happened to Jason Johnson 6 years ago yesterday. The question is, what if that exact same thing happened to you and me today? We're talking about separation from the world. That's the ultimate separation from the world. Everything you know and love, including your life. So when the devil is at his worst, and the barrel of that gun is right at your head, and death is this close, would you be able to lay down your life and take up your cross and follow Christ so that Jesus could be glorified in your death, so that people would be drawn to Christ because of it? And if not, do you know why not? If we're not really willing to die for Jesus, it's because we're not really willing to live for Him either, are we? If we're not really willing to separate from the world to die for Him, it's because we're not really willing to separate from things in this world to live for Him either, are we? So let me ask you this morning, and I'm asking Kevin Garner this question as much as anybody else. What are those things in our lives right now, those things of the world that we need to separate from, so we can start being a Daniel and be whole hog committed to Jesus Christ? What are they? Is it food? Is it porn? Is it those lustful thoughts about every guy and every girl that you see? Is it an attitude? Is it anger? Is it jealousy? Is it a grudge that you've never dealt with? Is it a relationship with a bad guy or a bad girl that God's been convicting you about? You've never done anything about it. Is it a personal habit? All the wasted time with stupid TV shows and places you go on your computer, that's wasting your life away. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, but Kevin, those are just little things. Daniel made a decision about a little thing here. It made his whole career. And if Daniel hadn't made that decision about that little thing in Daniel chapter 1, there wouldn't have been a rest of the book of Daniel. Today, you can make a decision about a little thing that will absolutely change your life. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? And I'm doing it in my heart as well. What are those things in your life? Let's do one thing. What is that one worldly thing in your life right now that you need to separate from, so that you can start being the Daniel or the Danielle that God's calling us to be? What is that one thing? And in your mind, picture that thing, turn your back on it, and walk away from it. I am separating myself. You resolve not to defile yourself with the things of Babylon, because you're going to be Daniel. You're going to be Danielle. Desperately, desperately needed in these last days. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and there's something in your life that you're struggling with that you can't get rid of, communion comes next in our service. But after the service is over, you need to come forward. You need to pray with somebody. You say, Kevin, why do I need to come forward and pray with somebody? Because the demonic hold that that thing has on your life starts to break the very nanosecond you start confessing it to somebody. People in our prayer team are absolutely confidential. You have no worries that they're going to share this with anybody. You come forward after the service. There's people sitting here today, you don't know Christ is your Savior. You can't be a Daniel until you're, first of all, a follower of Jesus. You need to come up after the service is over, give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you today for the calling that you placed in our lives. Lord, you are calling us to be Daniel here in the United States of America in these last days. Lord, when we are behind enemy lines and enemy territory, just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blessing that comes. I just pray for every single person who's praying right now. They know something they need to separate from in their life. I know what it is in my life, too. Right now, Lord, we just take that thing in our hands. We hand it over to you. We turn our backs and we walk away. We trust, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are going to start that process of setting us free. Pray, Lord, that we would separate, we would rededicate ourselves to you. You will more than make up for the loss of that thing in our lives. Lord, we give that up to have more of you. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.